Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out again to our home group meeting, and I just really appreciate all the wonderful comments and the emails I get from people that listen to the home group meeting over the internet. And I get them from Africa, from Asia, from many places, and I just thank you for all of those. And it really makes a difference in our heart, or in my heart, and preparation, and knowing that there are some people that really enjoy hearing the Word of God. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get back into prayer. We started a 9-part series last month on prayer, and so tonight what I'd like to do, start part two of the 9-part series on prayer. And there's 4 points that I would like to point our spirit back towards that I'd like to go into before I get into what I would like to have to say tonight. The first point is that prayer is a mystery. I don't know about you, but I do not know how prayer works, how I can pray for somebody and they be healed. The things of God, faith, prayer, all of these things are just mysteries, and I really like it that way, because I like serving a God that I can't figure out, and I like serving a God where things are just a mystery to me. The second point that we looked at, and this is a very, very important point, is that prayer is the pathway to the heart of the Father. Let me say that again. Prayer is the pathway to the heart of the Father. We're all going back to where we came from. And we all came from the Father's heart. And we're all going back to the Father's heart someday. And prayer is that avenue that gets us back to the heart of the Father. Point number 3, which is also a very, very important point, and that is prayer is like righteous living, which is an objective of God. Prayer is like that objective of righteous living where we don't have to think about it, and we don't have to, you know, it just becomes like breathing. It just becomes just like living, and where we don't have to stop and say, well, I'm going to breathe, where breathing is autonomic. It's normal for us. If that's what God would want for our life, that our living just becomes righteous. We don't have to think about it. We just go ahead and we live, and as we live, the things that we do are righteous. Well, prayer is just like that. We don't have to think about, okay, I'm going to pray, you know, this or that. That prayer just becomes natural with breathing. And the last point is also another important point is our prayer is to be spent on others. Our prayer is to be spent on others. Last month I shared that I decided a number of years ago to stop praying for myself as much. And I found out that now I have more time to pray for my wife and my wonderful wife Karen, my kids, other people, other situations. And then I noticed that as I prayed for others, God, you know, heard my heart's cry. And he gave me those things that I needed. So prayer is to be spent for others. Amen. Tonight I'd just like to, you know, just push a little deeper in that. Prayer is communion. Direct communication with God. Anything else that is, prayer is communion. Direct communication with God. Anything else is not called prayer in the Bible. Last month we saw that prayer is translated 6 different ways, and the number one in a most translated way is direct communication with God. So prayer is communion with God, and it's through communication with God. Amen. Jesus provided many things through his death and resurrection. One thing he provided was a riven veil, his flesh, and through which we can enter back into the heart of God. So Jesus made a way into the heart of God like never before with his death. Never before was there such a closeness and a unity with the Father through Jesus' death. made this closeness possible. For us now, prayer is the means for that closeness. Let me say that again. For us right now, prayer is that means for us to enter into that closeness with God. I'm sure the Spirit of God is here with us. If the Bible says where two or three are gathered, He's in our midst. But, I can't see God sitting in one of the chairs here or whatever. But for us right now, prayer is that means for us to get close to God. The Bible says if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And one of those means that we draw near to Him in is through prayer. It is the means for us to enter into that closeness that Jesus made through His death. And if there's a breakdown in communication, then there is a loss. And that is so true in any relationship that we have with our husband and our wife and our friends, our co-workers. If there's a breakdown in communication, then there's a loss. The loss happens out from the disconnection. The loss happens out from the disconnection. Whatever relationship we're involved in, there must be communication. And the more that is hindered, the greater the loss. So if you have a relationship with somebody, there must be communication. There must be talking. There could be verbal communication or it could be nonverbal communication. But there must be communication. And for that relationship to be meaningful and productive, there must be that communication. And when the communication is lost, then that relationship is lost. And then we have that loss of communication, then that's going to heighten the chances that you have a loss of that relationship. With God and with man, our communication allows us to have communion with God. We're to have that communication with God, and we're supposed to have that communication with man. And if people say, well, I love God, but I don't love this guy or that guy or whatever. Well, it's not the issue whether you like this guy or that guy. The issue is if you love God. Because if you love God, then God will put that love in your heart for that man that you really don't like. So that, that is where that is. But that communication is supposed to be with God and man. We are supposed to have that communication and even that communion with men also. And our communication always, always leads to a communion with God. So our communication, is to God, and out of that communication, that talking, then there comes a wonderful communion with God. You will never have communion with God. I mean a heart communion. Try to get back to the heart of the Father, as we talked about earlier, unless there is a communication with God. There must be, because communion comes out of communication, have it be verbal or nonverbal. We must be careful not to get involved or tied into things like our family, working, even working to the Lord, where projects overwhelm us. And to such a degree that we are consumed by them, taking up our time and our effort to where we have no time to communicate with God. The order, again, is God, family, ministry, God, family, work, whatever. Our first focus is to be God. God is always the focus in our life, not our living. So many Christians get that backwards, and they get working and do all these wonderful works for God, and they never become the work of God, and that's what God wants us to be. But our focus is always, always, God is to be our focus. And that focus in God is to know Him. And we just, a lot of people say we are here so that we can praise the Lord and do all of those things. Well, that is not the main reason why we are here on this earth, to glorify God and worship God and all of those things. That is not the main reason. The main reason that we are here on earth is to know God. To know God. John 17:3 says, now this is life eternal, that ye may know the Father. And that is what God wants in our life. We are to know Him, and we come to know God through communication. We come to know God through that communion that He longs for in our life. When communication between us and God is cut, we start to cultivate desires for the things that has broken off the communication. Let me say that again. Very, very, very important point. When communication between us and God is cut, we start to cultivate desires for the things that has broken off our communication. If communication between us and God is severed, then there is something that has severed it. And whatever it is that has severed that communication between us and God, that begins to grow in us, and we begin to go toward that. We begin to cultivate that. We ourselves cultivate our own desires for the things of the world. People, oh no, the world this, the world that, and Satan this, and no, 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 no. We ourselves cultivate our own desires for the things of the world. And the more we eat of the world, the more we develop a liking for them. The more we eat of the world, the more we cultivate these things in our life, the more we like them. Wow. We cultivate a hunger for the things of the world by doing things. You know, they say to establish a habit, you have to do something 7 times. 7 times consistently, you have to do that to establish that as a habit. And to break that habit, you have to not do that 21 times. Well, I'm not sure about 7 and 21, that's what they say. But I know the more that I go toward things of the world, you know, the less of God is going to be in me. And when I begin to cultivate a hunger for the things of the world, well, there is going to be less communication. And it overcomes us, and God's purpose in our life is lost. When we go after the things of the world, then that communication between us and God is disconnected. And then the purposes that God has planned for our life is in jeopardy of being lost unless we come back, unless we, you know, check ourselves and say, oh, wait a minute. And unless we go back and establish that communication and that communion with God, the purpose and the plan that God has for our life will be lost. James 1:14 and 15, if your Bibles, let's go ahead and go there. James 1:14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by the devil. No, when he's drawn away by some other person, or when he's drawn away by whatever. No, it says when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So it is our own lust that draws us away from God, and then the enticement comes. And the longer that we are drawn away and the more we are enticed, the greater the chance of God's purpose and plan in our life being lost. Verse 15, then when lust hath received, it bringeth forth sin. Wow, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So you can see, when we break that communication, which will lead to that communion with God, then we start to cultivate things in our lives that will ultimately bring death into our life, and we must not do that. And we should fear, have that reverent fear that God's purposes would be lost in us. You know, most Christians, they're very cavalier. I'm going to go to church and praise God, and we get in this thinking of, it just becomes automatic, and there's no fear of God. We should have a fear in us that God's purpose and plan would be lost in us. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and I'll tell you, there's not a lot of wise Christians out there today, and that is because there's really not a lot of fear of the Lord in people in their life. Amen. The more we get into our mind during the day, the more our mind will run on. I don't know about you, but the times that I do not meditate on the Word, the times that I think about other things, my mind just seems to run on and on and on. And the less of this life we get in us, the more of God we will have in us. So if we fill our mind up with the day-to-day things, you know, what's going on in politics, what's going on, you know, the Olympics is coming, and we go towards all of that stuff. Well, all of that stuff will break that communication in our life, which will break that communion in our life. The less of this life we get into us, the more of God we will have in us. And we are to be, we are filled either with the things of this world, or we are filled with the things of God. There's, you cannot be filled with both. John 3:6 says, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh, we're either be filled with the world, we're go toward that, and we're allow the world to cultivate things in us, or we will be filled with God, and we will allow God to cultivate His spiritual things in us. And we too, like Christ, are, you know, we too must put on the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, a wonderful verse that I like to always, always, you know, like when I pick up the paper or I read something, this verse often just kind of like pops into my head and says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is a desire of God for our life, is that we will have the mind of Christ. We will think like Christ, because how you think is very, very important. If you do not have the mind of Christ, if you have not put on the mind of Christ, then you will not be able to do the things that Christ did. Because that's the way our body works. We are to have the mind of Christ. And the more we go after the world and we go after all of these things, the less of the mind of Christ will be in us. Things of this world we should not worry about. Things like fretting and worrying. These are not good for our communication between us and God. We must come to a place to believe that God really cares for us. Oftentimes when we get concerned over issues in our life and we begin to worry and we begin to fret over that, that is really a sign of lack of faith in God. Well, I'm going to worry about this and worry about that. And it's a selfish condition where we do not want to suffer loss in ourselves. And you know, we get over in these areas, but we must really believe that God will take care of us. There must be a time in our life that we come to a place where we really come to believe that God will take care of us. But oftentimes what you see is most Christians kind of hedging their bet, in today's world. Well, yeah, I believe the Lord's going to take care of me, but how about my 401k? And I'm going to pull out money in the stock market, and I'm going to invest in this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to buy all of this stuff. And I'm just going to hedge my bet just in case, you know, I know God's going to take care of me, but I'm going to do all of these things. Well, that's not really what God wants for our life. He wants us to really come to a place in Him that we really are believed that He will take care of us. We need to allow the Spirit to communicate Spirit to us. You cannot really pray without the Spirit of God is in you. You can't. You cannot, you know, there will not be any prayer in the Spirit. And prayer, which is a spiritual thing that we saw last month, must be, you know, the Lord must be able to communicate that Spirit to us. He must be able to receive the Spirit. And if we're full of the world, if we're full of all the care, and we're fretting and worrying and all that good stuff, we will not be able to receive the things that God has for us. Prayer is of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Prayer is of the Spirit. Just open your heart to the Spirit, and the Spirit will communicate from God to you through me. Even tonight as I'm speaking and you're listening to me over the internet, just open up your heart and allow the Spirit of God to communicate His Spirit to you. But first you must open your heart to the Spirit, what God is saying to you. A lot of people, they go to church and they sit there and they just sit there and expecting God to do something in their life, but they don't open up their spirit. Well, the Spirit of God, when we open up our heart, communicates His Word to us, communicates His thoughts. But for that to happen, we must open up our heart. So there's communication, there's communion. Well, that starts when we open up our heart. We open up our heart and we allow the Spirit of God to communicate with us. And we communicate with the Spirit. And then that will lead to communion. And the communion is when God will be able to, you know, give us those things that we need. We will never receive the Spirit of God if the spirit of the world is alive and well within us. Now I'm going to tell on myself here. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say my last point again. I'm going to tell on myself. We will never receive the Spirit of God if the Spirit of the world is alive and well within us. There's an order for us. You know, the first thing we must allow God to kill in our life is the Spirit of the world. This desire for ease or this desire for money and comfort, all that good, all of those things of the world. And then we must allow God to kill our flesh. That is the order that things work in our life. And our flesh will never die. Our flesh will be alive and well unless we can allow God to kill that inner desire of the world in us. And then we can let Him work on our flesh. But as I said, I'm going to tell on myself, and that is I love America very, very much. And that is one area in my life that I need God to help me. But don't get me wrong, I love America. I gave 24 years in the military. It may be with my military service and all of the dedication and commitment and all that good stuff. But even in America, if America falls and I go toward America and I'm supporting America and doing all of those things, if America falls, and I promise you America will fall unless she turns back to the Lord, what am I going to do with my love for America if America falls? So I need to not go toward America so much and be a big American patriot as much as be a better Christian and not allow the love that I have for America to grow, but I need to let the love for God and that I have for God grow. And I'm not sure, as I said, maybe it was the 24 years of service, or maybe the retirement that the military gives me, and my disability, or the good life that America has afforded. I'm not sure what that is, but whatever that is, I can't go toward that. I must go toward God and allow God to work in my life, because the more of America I have in me, and the more of a love for America that I have, then that means there's going to be less of God in my life. Now, I know this message will be taught in darkness to some, and maybe 5 or 10 years out, the Spirit will turn on the light and give you the understanding. Things are not always what we think they are. Prayer is not made by God so that we can get something from Him. Oh, no. People like to pray if they think they can get something from God. Also that kind of amazing is, people like to use prayer and have God jump through the soup, and I'm going to pray, and man, they're really going to double down on God if they pray in the name of Jesus, And they always, want to get what they want. Well, that is selfish, and that's not the way that, that God operates. God is not a gumball machine where you can put in 10 cents and get out $100. That is not the way that God operates. Real fear of God. It is the real fear of God. It is the real fear of God and obedience to Him is what gets results in prayer. It's not giving to get, as you see in a lot of the Word of Faith ministry. You see them all over TV, and trying to twist God's arm to do all of these things, and that's not what moves God to answer prayer. The real fear of God, seeing God as a holy God, an omnipotent God, a loving God, a faithful God, a graceful God, all of these things. This is the fear of God, and out from that, and obedience, that's what gets results from God in our prayers. The purposes of prayer, the main purpose of prayer is to know God. Again, John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that we may know God. Wow. This is eternal life. I'm kind of happy and glad that I don't have to wait to die to get eternal life, that I can have eternal life right now. God intends for us to have eternal life now. Through prayer is one way that we can receive that eternal life that God has for us. So the main purpose of prayer is to know God, His ways, and His works. Now we must always remember that we are the ignorant one in prayer. We are. We do not know. God knows everything. It's kind of amazing. The Bible even tells us that before we pray, God already knows what we're going to ask for. So a lot of people say, well, why should I even pray? all I got to do is just stand here with my hands out there. If God knows what I'm going to ask for, I don't have to do anything. Well, that's true, but remember, we must always remember that we are the ignorant one in prayer. God always knows. It is not that God needs to know, because He already knows. The issue of prayer with us is we need to tell God the things that we want. And that is a need that God has built within us. There is a need for us always to go ahead and to tell God what we want. That's kind of something that is in us as children as we're growing up. As we grow up, we always go to our moms and our dads, and we go, Dad, I need this, and Mom, I need that. I need some new pants. Now, your mom and your dad know that you need new pants, because they can see you got holes in your pants or whatever, or you need some new shoes or whatever. And, you know, and often the mom and dad is waiting for the children to come and say, Dad, Mom, I need this. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. He knows everything. We are the ignorant one in prayer, and it's not that He needs to know. The issue is we need to tell Him, because God, He knows everything. And we must come to a place, we really must come to an understanding that God does know everything. A lot of Christians don't believe that. A lot of Christians do not believe that God knows everything. And everything that happens in their life is not, you know, ordained of God, or you know, God has allowed that. I mean, I heard Benny Hinn one day on TV say that things happen. And, you know, just, you know, situations happen that's out of God's control. And I thought, oh my God, how could he say that, you know? Because if that be so, then God, if God is not in control of every issue in my life, then God is not in control of any issue in my life. And we know that's not true. We know that God loves each and every one of us individually. He's got a plan, He's got a purpose for our life. Nothing can touch our life. You know, as long as we walk with Him, no one can pull us out of His hand. And we just have to know that everything in our life is ordained and planned by God. Amen. So we are not communicating anything to God that He doesn't already know when we pray. Isn't that amazing? We do not communicate anything to God that He doesn't already know, because He knows what we're going to pray before we even pray. But in prayer, the purpose again is to know His ways without asking why. Wow. Let me say that again. But remember, the purpose is to know His ways without asking why. Prayer moves us into this knowing His ways without asking. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. I'm going to say that again. Prayer moves us into this knowing His ways without asking. This is what God wants in our lives, to do what He wants us to do without questioning. Believe it or not, God desires that we have, you ready for this? I'm glad you're sitting down. And God's listening on the internet, I hope you're sitting down. God wants blind obedience in us the first time. God does not want to have to speak to us again and again and again. God is looking for us to be obedient the very, very first time. This blind obedience, if we hear it from God, we just do it. Wow. But prayer helps move us into this knowing, and there won't be a lot of asking. God really doesn't want us, well, God, why do you want this? And God, why this? And God, you know, Lord, if you love me, and why? And why? You know, God don't want any of that stuff. He doesn't want any of that stuff. God wants us to move in blind obedience with Him. And prayer moves us into this knowing His ways without asking. To know His wisdom. Wow. Another purpose of prayer is to know God's wisdom. And as we look at His wisdom on first glance, though, it looks kind of foolish. But to God, it is wisdom. But God's wisdoms, God's ways are always wisdom. But to man, they are foolishness. Again, another purpose of prayer is to know God's wisdom. But we look at God's wisdom and we would say, I mean, man calls that foolishness. Well, God calls the foolishness of man, I mean, the wisdom of man, you know, foolishness also. But with prayer, that enables us to come to understand God's wisdom. Now when we know His ways and we know His wisdom, then we'll be in trouble, especially from our fellow believers. We are not supposed to be like everybody else. I know that sounds kind of strange, and a lot of Christians, they want to look like everybody else. The church looks like the world, and the world looks like the church, and so many people say, well, why should I go to church? You know? I mean, I dress like them, and I act like them, and, you know, I talk like them, and I use the same hip, cool language that the pastor uses, and I listen to the same hard music like they do. I mean, you know, why should I go to church? But we are not to look like everybody else. But we are to be moving into the heart of the Father, closer to Him and to know Him. For this to happen, we must face tribulation, and we must face temptation, and we must, you know, face, you know, problems in the world. Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. That's a promise from God. Timothy, in 2 Timothy, says that those desire to be godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer a temptation. All of these things, you know, is going to come our way. And anytime we move in God's wisdom, we should always, always expect troubles from, you ready for this? Your family and your friends first. Especially your Christian friends. Especially your Christian kin. Let me say that again. Anytime you begin to move in God's wisdom, now people's going to say, that's foolishness. Always expect troubles to come your way. I wrote an article that will be published in probably tomorrow. That will be published in the local Jacksonville newspaper. And I appointed a distribution list of people that I send emails to and stuff like that. And I got an email back already from a pastor who asked me to go ahead and remove him from, you know, my distribution list. And so that's fine. You know, I said I'd do that. And I expect any blowback from anybody that would object to my article, and it's a very, very wonderful article, and it's on the shooting in Aurora. How why is anybody shocked? I mean, you know, we shouldn't be shocked about that shooting, because I mean, you know, that went into detail about, you know, why our society is so ungodly and how America has turned away from God. But, you know, I thought that of all the people that's going to, you know, give me any kind of, be upset, was not going to be the worldly folks. It was going to be my Christian friends, and I was absolutely right. The one pastor, he called it clutter, and so I said, well, that's fine. And I went ahead and just removed him from my list. But make no mistake, when you begin to move in the wisdom of God, you begin to know His ways, expect troubles from your family first and from your friends, especially your Christian friends. If we can watch and pray, we will know the ways that God takes, unlike the disciples who did not know the way that God was taking them. You know, it's really amazing. I mean, I really like reading, you know, the Gospels, because I like to watch how the disciples, they interacted with Jesus and all the ways and the things that they did to try to get around and try to get over on Jesus. And Jesus, in a loving, patient way, just plowed them up, you know, and just kind of plowed them over. But, do not get yourself in trouble by going the wrong way. How do we stay on track? We stay on track by watching and praying. And out of that, that is by, you know, knowing the purposes of God, and that is knowing God and knowing His wisdom. So do not get off track. And how do we not get off track? By watching and praying that we do not get off track. So communication, praying, puts us into that knowing God's ways. Again, communication puts us into that knowing God's ways. And of course, out of that communication comes that wonderful communion that we are to have with the Lord. Evil acts and tragedies and, you know, should, you know, like happened in Colorado, should never ever move a Christian out of the way. All of those crazy things, they should never shock us. We should, you know, I mean, if we're walking with the Lord and we know His ways, you know, and we have His wisdom, all of this stuff should never ever shock us. We should never ever be upset. We should be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And just go, well, you know, this is the world, you know, what do you expect? I mean, you know, and just pray for them and just keep, you know, moving on. But bad news, the collapse of the world system, all that could be coming. But it should never affect us if we're walking with the Lord. There should be nothing ever affect us in our life, whether it be sickness or bankruptcy or whatever. If we're really walking with the Lord in the place that we need to be, none of this stuff should ever, ever affect us. Now, reading the Bible was good and helps to move us in the right direction, but without knowing God, even the Bible will be confusing, misleading in many places, because it is the understanding, or most often in the Bible is translated understanding. And so it is the Spirit of God that gives us the understanding. And if we do not know God's wisdom, and we get God's wisdom from the Holy Spirit, and we do not know His ways, then we will not understand how things fit, and we will misunderstand them. If we will not have God's wisdom, and we don't understand the way that God operates, then we will not have that understanding and how everything fits in together, and then we will misunderstand. A lot of times the disciples, they misunderstood so many things in their life. They just misunderstood. And that's because they never saw the big picture. Our purpose on earth is to know God, and prayer is one of the main means to know God through. Again, our purpose on earth is to know God, and prayer is one of the means to know God through and know His wisdom. And we must be able to allow God to show us the big picture. We must allow God to show us the big picture and how and where we fit into that. You know, there's this big picture Jesus was trying to lay out in the Gospels. And the disciples never could get, you know, the picture, you know, that Jesus was trying to lay out. And we must allow God to show us, you know, that big picture and where we individually fit in. And prayer, communication, and communion is that way. Again, prayer, communication, and communion is the way that is back to the heart of the Father. And also, that is the way that, you know, God can go ahead and show us that big picture where we fit in, you know, what the big picture is all about and where we fit in. Because this is the big picture, but, you know, if we're really walking with the Lord, He'll be able to focus us in to this small little area maybe, or this big area right here, to where we fit in and where our responsibilities, where our duties ends, and the things that He wants us to do for Him in our lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your wonderful word, Father. Lord, we thank you for your time, Father, Lord God, that we share together, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father. Lord, I would ask that you would just take this word, Father, Lord, this broken bread, and Lord, as it goes out to the internet and the people that are here tonight, Father, Lord God, Lord, that you use that word and minister the lives, Father, Lord God, and will give them understanding, Father, Lord. And they'll see the great value of prayer, Father, Lord God. And they'll be able, Father, Lord God, to enable them to have that communication and the communion, Father, Lord God, with you. And the wisdom, Father, Lord God. And all of those things, Father, Lord God. So that you'll be able to communicate the big picture to them, Father, Lord God. And the picture where they are, Father. We just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, we just love you and, Father, Lord God, just continue to bless this homeroom meeting with all the many things that you do, Father, and all the good things that come out of this, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.